you.
Well, Jonah wanted nothing more than for God just to leave him alone. You know, just leave me alone. Is that really such a bad thing to wish for? You just want to live your life the way you want to live it? What's wrong with that? All Jonah simply desired was for God's assignment to line up with Jonah's priorities. God's approach to things to match Jonah's opinions. God's attitude to fit Jonah's preconceived views. What's so wrong with that, right? I mean, isn't that what everyone wants? For God to ask us to do only the things we're comfortable with? For God's approach to the issues of the day to match our own? Oh, wow, check that out. God agrees with me. But no. God insisted on having things His way. God had a message He wanted spoken, but Jonah didn't like that message at all. God had a task, but Jonah didn't want to do it. So of course Jonah ran away. I mean, who wouldn't? Of course Jonah made excuses. Who doesn't? Of course it resulted in chaos. Why would you expect any different? And of course God chased him, because God always does. Onto the sea, into the fish, out of the fish, onto the beach, all the way to Nineveh, God pursued him. Jonah, it seems, could have avoided a whole lot of chaos in his life, could have escaped an entire storm and 3 days of brining in a fish belly if he'd been a little less pig-headed. But that's not the route that Jonah chose. And in this series of messages that we've been working through over the last several Sundays, in which we've been talking about finding peace in the midst of the chaos of our world and of our national life together and of our own personal lives, an important thing to keep in mind from Jonah's story this morning is that running away from God pretty much always results in chaos. Running away from God means you're running toward chaos. So if we're on the run, we shouldn't be surprised if it's not really going that well. And while it's absolutely true that the turmoil in which we may find ourselves at any given moment is not always necessarily directly traceable to running away from God always leads to turmoil. Just ask Jonah, he'll tell you. So if your life is in an uproar, if your soul is starting to smell a little of fish guts, you may want to ask yourself if you're avoiding something God doesn't really want you to avoid. Now, Jonah may be the most willfully stubborn, least likable, ungrateful, disobedient person to ever wander across the pages of the Bible. He is the most uncooperative person God ever used to share His message. And his rebellion, by the way, wasn't just a one-time deal. It wasn't just an innocent misunderstanding. It was wanton and deliberate. And over again. Let's review, shall we? Quite literally, Jonah begins by going out of his way to run from God. I mean, he went so far out of the way, in fact, that when God said go to Nineveh, Jonah hopped a ship bound for Tarshish. Nineveh is to the east. It was the capital city of Assyria in what is now Iraq. But Jonah doesn't go to Nineveh, no. He heads for Tarshish, which is to the west. In Spain. Get it, the picture in your brain. In fact, it is so far to the west that it is about as far west as much in the opposite direction from Nineveh as you could possibly go in the known world at that time. So God is saying, Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go this way. And Jonah is saying, no, 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 I'm going this way. And then, when God intervenes through a storm at sea, Jonah, man of God that he was, he doesn't plead with God on the behalf of the innocent shipmates he's with. No. He was actually asleep in the bottom of the boat, as if he was completely comfortable with his decision to go AWOL on God. And then the captain comes to Jonah. And he wakes him up and he pleads with him to ask his God's help so that they wouldn't all drown at sea. So does Jonah then own up to his part in what's going on? No. Not until he has no choice. He silently stands around, waits for the crew to cast lots to find the culprit. And only when it falls on him does Jonah finally admit what's going on. But even as Jonah is constantly trying to twist away from God, God is still pursuing him, sending a fish to swallow Jonah and keep him alive. You see, sometimes we are so determined that things should go our way, that we are in control, that we're willing to drown just to be right. So God, in his mercy, rescues Jonah. Though in no conceivable way does Jonah deserve rescue. After 3 days in the belly of a fish, Jonah should be a reformed man now, right? Aware of God's grace, that God saved him with this fish. Aware of all that through his own firsthand experience. Now it's not just something he heard in church. Now it's part of his life. So he's now energized and eager to share that message with others the way God had asked him to in the first place. Right? No. Not so much. Jonah does finally haul his sorry self to Nineveh, but when he gets there, he only half-heartedly at best calls the people to repent and embrace God's love. But when, lo and behold, they actually do, Jonah goes into a funk and he pouts. No, hallelujah, what a savior from Jonah. Instead, he goes outside the city, he sits down, and when God won't relent on the mercy that Jonah is convinced these people do not deserve, which was why he didn't want to preach to them in the first place, because he was afraid this exact thing would happen, that God would be merciful. He wishes he was dead. God, this is just so wrong. I just wish I was dead. Now you can maybe understand why Jonah was just a little peeved at God over all of this. See, Nineveh was the enemy. The Old Testament describes the place as the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. You could maybe call it the ISIS of its time. So what would you do in Jonah's place? If God wanted you to go proclaim his goodness, now, not condemnation, mind you, but mercy to ISIS in the hopes that they would respond. I'm pretty sure that there wouldn't be a single person in this sanctuary who wouldn't be on your phone right now booking a ticket to Tarshish. When Jonah ran away, see, it wasn't because he was afraid of going to Nineveh. It was because he was afraid of what God would do when Jonah got there. Because Jonah wanted God to punish them with destruction because they deserved it, not save them with forgiveness because they didn't. But he knew that's what God was going to do. He just knew God was going to be a merciful God, and he was right. So Jonah runs the other way. Away from the place God wants him to go, away from the thing God wants him to do, away from the grace God wants him to share. And that, see, is when the chaos of the storm sets in. When Jonah's running away. Now understand, it does not say that God sent the storm to punish Jonah. It doesn't say that. God sent the storm to get Jonah's attention, to talk to him. Have you ever wanted to run away? I remember my first stab at running away when I was little. I was angry with my parents for some reason. It was a good reason. And I told them, you know what, guys, this is it. It's time for me to strike out on my own. So I gathered up my most prized possession, which at the time was my Woody Woodpecker music box, and I headed out the door. Of course, the world was a pretty big place and plenty scary, so I decided to run away only as far as my front yard, where I would wait out my parents until they came to their senses. Besides, I wasn't supposed to cross the busy street by myself anyway. So I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And I waited. But apparently, my parents did not come to their senses easily. And I finally realized that they would not be coming out to beg me to come back inside. Now, since by that time, I no longer remembered what important principle I was defending, I figured it was time to cut my losses. Plus, I was getting bored. Woody Woodpecker only takes you so far. Okay? I think it was almost dinner time, too. We probably all have runaway stories from when we were young or from when our kids were young, but as we get older, running away becomes more subtle and more destructive as we seek to hide from the things that we would rather avoid. Truth is, I spent a lot of time during my first few years in the ministry running from being the pastor I already was, dreaming of other careers I could take up, sometimes vaguely bitter over what I was doing at the time when it wasn't always what I wanted to do, feeling like somehow life or maybe God was cheating me out of the dreams that I had for myself. See, when things are not good, we may try to run away by running to another relationship or running to another career or hiding in our work or immersing ourselves in something that will allow us to evade the thing we don't want to face. There are 1,000 different boats leaving for Tarshish all the time. And it's tempting to climb on board any one of them. Because while God's call on your life may not be to a place as dangerous as Nineveh, it is a call all the same. A call into a deeper, more passionate relationship with Christ. But instead, you throw yourself into endless distractions, which you convince yourself will end shortly. You know, this busy time, it's going to be over soon. Besides that, all this busyness is for the kids. You know, it's for the kids. A call to forgive someone the harm they have done to you. But instead, you nurse your grudge like a cup of warm chocolate. A call to change a behavior, but instead you do all you can to avoid the topic. A call to worship, but instead you put it on the back burner because, you know, you just don't have enough time in a week. And then you look around, and the boat's beginning to rock, and the wind is picking up speed, and things are starting to seem a little chaotic and a little off balance. And that's because God is in pursuit of you. And running from Him inevitably means that you are running straight into chaos. And the thing is, our running affects those who are closest to us. Jonah may think that his argument is just between him and God, just between the two of them. But he brings the sailors on that boat into it when he boards their ship. Chances are, whatever you run from at bottom is your way of running from God. Chances are that the problems you avoid and the way you escape them are at bottom issues that you have with God. We might think that our running from God is our own business, but when we run from God and His call on us, we affect everyone who's in the boat with us. Our family, our friends, our spouse, our co-workers, they all end up going through the storm too. But here's the interesting thing. God does not give up on you, even when you give up on Him. Even when you give up on yourself, God does not turn His back on you. Jonah was this horribly flawed and sinful guy. He was rebellious and stubborn right up until the end of the book. In fact, in the midst of his still unrepentant attitude, God continues talking to Jonah, still showing him mercy, still showing him grace, still showing him salvation, still stooping down to meet him. Because that's what God does. In Christ, He stoops down to meet us, to love us with grace and mercy and salvation, stubborn, mule-headed people as we may be. People like Jonah, who aren't always willing to do the right thing, who are quick to run the other way and pay it no mind, as if it doesn't really matter, and then are shocked as the chaos begins to mount. God keeps us. God still loves us. God still saves us. God still shows us mercy. Even when we want nothing more than for God to just leave us alone. Even when we run the other way. Even when we finally maybe concede to Him, but half-heartedly and barely put any effort at all into our response to Him. Now, the book ends before we get to see any light bulb go off over Jonah's head. Before we find out whether or not he ever really does get the idea that God is determined to forgive the undeserving and save the unsavable, even maybe especially those we find most personally distasteful. Now, perhaps Jonah remained the hard-nosed, love-must-be-earned type. But maybe, just maybe, as he gazed over the city of Nineveh, the Spirit gave him eyes to see that that city was a mirror of his own heart. Perhaps over time he saw that those people were not only ones who had been undeserving, but they were also recipients of divine love. And so was he. And if that's the case, maybe he found peace in his chaos. After all.